flowing from my heart are the issues of my heart. Gratefulness. Aren't you grateful for all that God has done for us? And maybe it's not, you don't have to think about everybody else, but if we just think about what he's done for us, gratefulness. Thank you, Voices of Praise, and to all of the music department for your leadership today in our worship. I want, as we turn to our text in James, the first chapter, for the youth and young adult leadership team, if you would come and sit behind the youth, members of the youth and young adult leadership team. Our text is found in James 1, verses 1 through 4. You can turn in your devices or your Bibles. Want to reiterate what Kyra said earlier about the lock-in this week. They have tons of games and excitement planned. They're going to give away Apple AirPod earphones and scholarships and some other various prizes. We have over 30 college students from Houston-Tillotson University that will be attending, and the rest will be our youth and their friends. So please be in prayer, not just for the leadership team and for the youth, but also that our pastor would make it. He's going to be sharing with us at 1 o'clock during the Ask the Pastor hour and 1 in the morning. So we're praying for him and his safety. And joining us, and we thank Sister Freeman for allowing him to come. Are you in James 1 with me? James 1, verses 1 through 4 reads, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, wherever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Verse 2, one more time. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. I want to talk to you from this thought this morning. Necessary. Necessary. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you. We thank you, O God, for all that you have done. Lord, I ask for your preaching power. And I ask for the conviction that flows in me to flow through your people, that we may receive a word from you. Grant us this time, O God, now to dwell in the presence of your word, that we may hear from you. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Have you ever watched a good show or a good movie? Is she the only one that has watched a good movie or a show? I mean, have you ever really just waited to get home, climb in the bed, and watch your favorite movie or television show? Maybe it's a series or something that takes you way back. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, when you watch it, you feel good, right? And not only when you watch a good movie, but if you are a good movie fanatic, you try to jump to the plot, just trying to figure out what's going to happen next, right? I mean, if you like a good mystery show, NCIS, or I think that's what it's called, Criminal Minds, what? Ricky Morty, is that appropriate? You watch these shows trying to guess the plot, right? If you watch a good mystery, you want to know before it gets to the end what's going to happen. You're trying to figure it out. It's working in your mind. Maybe it's a good book. Sitting and watching, reading, and as you're reading the book, trying to jump to what the author is going to say before he says it or she says it. And you try to beat the punchline. And it's not a matter of if something was going to happen, right? But when. You know something is going to happen, whether it's good or whether it is bad. It's reality. And we face that same reality in our text today. And that is not if we're going to face trials, but when. Not if, but when. Whenever, the text says, you face trials. Many of us talk about God. We pray to God, we worship God, but we never encounter God. And what does encountering God mean whenever we are facing trials? I believe that God ordains the trials that we all go through. He allows and sanctions them for our greater purpose. Joy does not come from our trial or temptation, but rather joy comes from understanding who authors the trials. We are going to face situations, right? We are going to face some difficulties in life, and we don't find joy in that, but we find joy knowing who authors those situations. So it is to our benefit to count it joy, not if trials come, but when, and they will come. Trials will come. Trials will come. Trials will come. Trials will come. Not if they come, but when. And Paul has a similar experience in 2 Corinthians when he calls his trials thorns, right? His situation goes like this. Three times I pleaded with God to take away this from me, whatever this may be. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest in me. That is, for Christ's sake, I delight in my weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. That's where the joy of your trials come from. This is a test of faith. Christ is testing us because it is essential to the Christian journey. Hebrews 12:1 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. It's good for me. And in this case, what doesn't feel good or doesn't look good is good. Consider it pure joy. I must add a cautionary warning, especially to the youth, though, because some trials we face are self-inflicted. Right? And not all the time has God sanctioned the stuff that we go to. Sometimes it's our own mess. You, the youth college students, are very aware of what self-inflicted trials look like and the consequence of them. Therefore, we become immune to the joy. And we expect consequences rather than counting it pure joy. Examples go something like this. If you skip class, you can expect to be counted absent. Don't point at one another. If you get bad grades, you can expect to be suspended from UIL and punished by your parents, right? Y'all really pointing today, okay. If you lie to someone, you can expect for them not to trust you, right? If you hurt someone, you expect for them to cry or to disassociate themselves with you. These are self-inflicted trials. And so it's good for us to note that when you face them, not if, but when, you can count it pure joy. But make sure that your trials come from Christ. It's not on my paper, but if... how do you know whether it's God-inflicted or self-inflicted? I think the text gives us that. The only way you know is by enduring the trial. And at the end of the trial, if you come out better than when you went in, you can expect that it was a God-sent thing. Right? Not if, but when you face tests. My second point is this. Know that it produces perseverance and temptation. Sorry, not temptation. Determination. I turned my paper too quick. Cause and effect, right? We often want the effect of something without going through the cause of it. Let me say that again. We often want the effect of something without going through the cause of it. All right. Y'all don't want to talk back. That's because I didn't make it plain. So if you want a job, you have to go through the interview process. If you want to make varsity, you got to go through the tryouts. If you want a good singing career, then you have to be ready for scrutiny of your voice. These are things that issue cause and effect. Don't try to skip the cause of your effects. All right? Embrace the trials. The tests we face produces within us the ability to withstand greater obstacles and tests ahead. It produces endurance. Some people, rather, some of us, all of us, many of us are spoiled. Okay, you don't have to admit to it. But we complain every time we encounter some difficult days. We become spoiled in the good life. We become spoiled in getting things when we ask for them. And then when something happens that we haven't asked for, we start to complain. We mumble and we grumble. There is a phrase I heard this week from the youth saying, I hate it here. And when I asked, it did not mean the normal I don't want to be here, as millennials and Generation X has a lot of phrases that doesn't make any sense. And so this said youth, I'm not going to say who it is, but kept saying every time that I told him to do something, I hate it here. But what it meant was, I'm tired of this. That's kind of what the phrase means, I think. Am I right? Okay, all right. If we quit complaining And if we trained our minds to embrace things we disagree with, then it could work to our advantage. In Romans 5, 2 through 4, it says, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we are, which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character. I didn't think that that would get a lot of amens, especially from the youth, because that can kind of get tedious in wording. So I came up with a demonstration. Roman, would you do me a favor? Grab that table right there. Bring it up to the pulpit. Uh-huh. Y'all give Roman a big round of applause. He's real strong. Thank you, thank you.
I appreciate it.
How many of you like Honey Nut Cheerios? None of y'all like it? You two kind of, sort of. Okay, all right. And... y'all like Trix? Okay. Any? No? No? Y'all like Trix? No? 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 Okay. The leadership team just looking at me. What about Cinnamon Frosted Flakes? Trey, you like that one. Yeah, you want that one. Uh-huh. All right. What about Fruit Loops? I ate all of these. It ain't nothing left in here. This. I like those too. What about Honey Bunches of Oats? Apple Caramel Crunch. I heard somebody clapping. Oh, y'all like those too? Okay, all right. Anybody else like Honey Bunches of Oats? Oh, okay, okay. Now, what other brands of cereal y'all like? Reese's Puffs, uh-huh. Congregation? Captain Crunch? Raisin Bran? So, how many of y'all want a Honey Nuts Cheerios? One, two, but most of y'all don't want it, right? You want it, Kyra? Okay. What if I said before the service I put some AirPods in there? No? Oh, okay. Y'all remember the one that I ate? I did put something in there. Who doesn't like these? Preston, you don't like these? Preston, if I gave these to you, would you eat them? You don't like them. You don't like them, right? But what if I told you that I put $100 in there, would you, and I told you you had to eat it all to get to the bottom. You take it? Okay. Now, Trey, which one do you not like most? Oh, yeah, you see how you picking and choosing? This one right here. So this one you like the least. But if I told you there was something in there for you, would you eat it? Because there's something in there for you. Y'all think I'm still sucking on cereal, don't you? Uh-huh. Trey, if I told you I had something for you when you finished the eating of something that you don't like, would you eat it? Because there's something in it for you. What about you, Deja? You want to eat the Cheerios, because there's something in it. I really did put something in it. You want to eat it? Oh, okay. Okay. You want it knowing that there's something on the other side of it. Right? When you have something in your mind, when you plant something in your mind, knowing that there is something good on the other side of it, then you get excited about it, right? I didn't put nothing in the Cheerios, but I did have something for you in the text. And that is, on the other side of your trials,
on the other side of your circumstance, on the other side of things that you will go through, because you will go through it, right? Not if, but what? But when. When you go through trials, you can expect that on the other side of it. Come on now. There is something. Now, I know that wasn't going to get it. It's the same concept when your parents say that you have to do your homework before you go outside and play. You have to do your homework before you go out on the weekends. You have to make sure that you commit to doing your schoolwork before you go do any sports or any other extracurricular activities. And so whenever your parents tell you that there's something on the other side of it, you have to take their word for it. But if you don't want to take that, at least take this. On the other side of your trials, not if, but when you face trials, there is something on the other side. But when? When you persevere, it is then that you will see that it was necessary for what God was completing in you. Now, many scholars believe that James is not addressed to one particular person, right? He's talking to a group of people on this intentional stage that kind of sets us up for something that is higher. These moral concepts. You all know about it. My leadership team talked about it this morning about tongues and how to use your mouth, right? And how you should talk to one another. So he has this concept, but I would argue with that. I believe that trials are particular. I believe that tests are particular to every individual. That is, your test is different from my test. What God has in store for me is different than what God has in store for you. I cannot stand standardized testing. Never liked it. I'm not an educator by license, but I'm educated enough to know that not all tests work for everybody. And I have always been against standardized testing. Testing that requires instructors to treat everybody everyone's learning ability the same. Testing that disregards the experience and cognitive makeup of each person. I disagree with standardized testing because it disregards the differences of individuals, even though being different is inevitable, just like being born black is inescapable, you know. But it is not that I think people cannot achieve the same thing. Just how we go about the results to get there is different. Are y'all still with me? The test will be different. The test will be different. I'll give you an example. My sixth grade year, I was really sick, and I had to miss about half of the school year. So what they decided to do was get me a tutor at home, a teacher that would come to make sure that I stayed on track so I can go on to the next grade for the next year. She would come, sit with me, make sure my grades were done. And then at the end of the year, we had to take what was called at the time tax test. It's now called the STAR test. So when I went back to school to take the tax test, they put me in a room with those that were really struggling or, you know, that had been in remedial classes just because they wanted to make sure that even though they expected the same results, they wanted to make sure that, you know, I had a little help. So they would read the questions to us and then you had to answer. Now, I was fine. I wasn't crazy or anything. They just wanted to make sure that I had the same results at the end
But just getting to it was a little different. Y'all still think that I'm talking about educational system, but I'm not talking about the educational system anymore. I'm talking about the text, and that is that sometimes some people start at a different place in life. Some people start at a different place in their Christianity. Some people start at a different place in their walk with Christ. And sometimes, even though we are all striving to get to this maturity, and we're striving to have this perseverance, how we get through to the test requires a different system. I hope y'all are back with me back in church and in the text, right? We are all going through something. Everybody has some test, but your test is unique to you. But this is the problem I have. Church folks expect for everybody to have the same standardized test. That is, when we look at people, we want them to have the same testimonies. We want people to say this: oh, I've been through the storm. Oh, I've been through hell and high water, but the Lord has brought me out. But some people are on the other side of the test, and what they are encountering is that, no, the Lord hadn't brought me through, but he's working on me now. Right? He's doing something in me now. The test is not finished. Not everybody's testimony is going to be the same. We can't standardize tests in the church. People look different. People act different. People talk different. People go through different things. Quit trying to judge everybody else's test. I'm almost done. But I want you to remember that everybody's test is different, but it produces something. Perseverance. It produces character. What you will go through, what all of us go through, should make us better. Some of us, it makes us bitter. It makes us hate. It makes us growl and complain. Be careful how you come through your test. I'm almost done. This is where it turns from singular to plural. This is where I would agree with those scholars who say that this is not just a singular, it is a plural, where the message was personal and becomes communal. That we all, no matter where we started our journey, have a chance, a hope, that my tests are necessary for God to finish his work in me. We can borrow from the stories of perseverance found throughout Scripture. Come here, Daniel. Daniel, when you stand in front of me, talk to the youth now. It was necessary for Daniel to be put on a diet of vegetables for 30 days rather than to eat meat sacrificed to demigods from the king's table and to come out looking 10 times better than those that ate otherwise. It was necessary from Daniel. Okay, that didn't get you. It was necessary for the Hebrew boys to get into the fiery furnace and to stand there. There were three, right? And when the king looked in after it was 7 times hotter, he says, I don't see just 3, I see 4. And I don't know who the 4th man was. We don't find out in the text, but it was necessary to see who it was. Maybe that didn't get you. Come here, Job, talk to the youth for a little bit. Job lost all he had. He went through trials. He went through tribulations. He lost his children. He lost all he had. But when he came through on the other side, God gave him twice as much as what he had before. It was necessary. Come here, Jesus. It was necessary for Jesus to suffer. It was necessary for him to be hung out on a cross. It was necessary for him to be strung out wide. It was necessary for him to go through what he went through. Not only was he hung out, not only was he whipped and beaten, not only was he murdered for our sins,
But he was placed in a borrowed tomb. It was necessary for him to die. And when he got into that tomb, the story doesn't end there. But he rose 3 days later. It was necessary. What you go through is necessary. It's necessary. Our Christ, our Lord and our Savior, was suffered. He had suffered. He was beaten for our iniquities. Nothing that he had done. But we can count it all joy because he came through on the other side. And I'm glad about it. Consider it pure joy. Perhaps for you, you are going through a trial. You don't know how you're going to make it through. You don't know why you're going through it. But consider it joy. All of these things, consider it joy. We offer Christ to someone so that you can have that joy. We offer Christ to someone so that when you get through on the other side of your trial, your tribulation, you can share your story with someone else. As our deacons and as our greeters come, we offer him to you, the opportunity to meet him for yourself. If that is you, if you want to know something more about him, would you come? We offer Christ to you. Is necessary. Oh, he will give you brand new life. Would you stand, Ebenezer? Trials. We know that your children will face trials. And it's not if, but when. And even more than that, oh God, we know that it is necessary for their character, for their perseverance, for their determination. But Lord, it doesn't seem that way when we're going through it. It doesn't seem that way when we're crying, when we're being talked about. It doesn't seem that way when we have to do things that we don't want to do. But God, we ask that you would give them a joy, an understanding that their journey, that their tests, that their trials is not just to be in a storm, but it is that as if they will come out as pure gold.
on the other side of it. Lord, we ask that you would help them to find themselves in you. Lord, walk with them in their classes. Walk with them with their friends. Walk with them in their relationships. Walk with them on their sports teams. Walk with them wherever they may go. Do not leave them, O God. Help them to feel you. Help them, O God, to watch out for the things that deter them from you, from their self-inflicted trials. Be with them, O God. Be with their parents. Be with their households, that all may seek you and come running to your throne of grace. Lord, we thank you for them. We thank you for their leadership. We thank you for their brilliance. Continue to watch over them and keep them as only you can, in Christ's name. Amen. Let us now receive our benediction.